Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 137. Kojo Dampte, you are running for city councilor in Ward 14. Welcome to the Public Records, the 155 Podcast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so my full name is Kojo Nana Ofe Dampte. I moved to Canada, Hamilton, in 2001. I came because of schooling. I did my OAC at Columbia International College, then moved on to McMaster's, my chemical engineering degree. And since then, I have stayed in Hamilton, been contributing to the community, to Hamilton. And now in 2022, I'm running for council to represent Ward 14 residents.
Why are you running?
There are lots of reasons. One of the reasons I'm running is to represent Ward 14 residents so that we can build a caring and safe and affordable, equitable, and responsive city council. I'm running because it's time to also turn the page on what the future of Hamilton holds. We have numerous elected leaders that have been there for years. They've contributed to Hamilton. Hamilton is changing, and so elected leaders need to be responsive to the changing demographics and the future that we want to build for Hamilton. And so that's the reason I'm running. The other reason too is for some of us, myself and others, that have been involved in trying to move the city to a place where we feel serves the needs of everybody. We've seen some of the obstruction behavior from a number of councillors. Today, for example, they were talking about climate change, and you had certain councillors push back on the idea that having a climate change strategy is going to cost this. So those are some of the things that I have seen a number of the other candidates, and we can no longer accept that and hope that certain councillors are mine. So that's one of the why I'm running.
Do you live in Ward 14, yes or no?
No.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
In my case, I lived in Ward 14 up until October 2021. And the reason I had to move was because I was renting from a property owner, and the property owner decided to sell their property. So then I had to find a new place to live for my family. And so obviously with the high cost of rents, one of the places we could find was still in the West Mountain. And I live right on the border of Ward 8 and Ward 14. And to be exact, I live 400 meters from Garth and Bendemeer. So if people really want to know how close I am to Ward 4, that is it. And I've, again, having been involved in Ward 14 for over a decade, I feel I'm committed there. I grocery shop in Ward 14, so I am part and parcel of the West Mountain.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Yeah, so let's start with Ward 14. I was one of the co-founders of 14 for Progress. 14 for Progress was a group of Ward 14 residents, myself included, who wanted to see some progressive ideas happen in Ward 14. As many of your listeners may know, during the pandemic, our current counselor was ill, and so we didn't have a representative. So one of the initiatives that we undertook, Ward 14 was a complete streets review, and we held a Zoom session for residents to talk about what the complete streets review was about. The consultant firm that actually was running it came to our Zoom session, and we also supported residents filling out Lomatic in Ward 14. So that's one of the things that I've contributed during the pandemic as well. I was one of the co-founders of the Mountain Aid Network, providing groceries and health products to folks on the mountain, West Mountain, Central Mountain, East Mountain. As you know, there are certain portions that have food desert exacerbated. So those are some of the things that I've done. I've also worked with a number of Ward 14 residents to clean up our parks. Sometimes there's debris and litter. I've done that work. And then in the Gilkson neighborhood, that's where the first community fridge was established, and I've supported the fridge. So Those are my contributions to Ward 14. When it comes to Hamilton, I would say that the first contribution, I was one of the members of the Hamilton Music Advisory. And during that time, some of the initiatives we started were having music loading zones. So if you go to the Casbah Mills, you will notice that there's a loading zone to load the equipment. We also started the Music Mondays, which now is the summer concert series that is happening in all the BIAs of the city. And that was an initiative for emerging musicians in the city of Hamilton to earn a decent wage to also connect with new audience. We designate Hamilton as a music city, so we have to put our actions there. So those were some that I did, Hamilton Music Advisory. I also worked with the planning City of Hamilton Arts Awards to also get them to understand that there are racialized artists in our city and they need to make some connections to ensure that when we are celebrating artists, we're celebrating all artists of every type. Other things that I've worked on will relate to my current role working at the Hamilton Civic Inc. We're currently working on an online platform for reporting hate, where any resident report of hate crime. And during the pandemic, I worked along with public health and other health experts to start COVID walk-in clinics that were prioritized for vulnerable populations. So essential workers, seniors, teachers. And with that initiative, we were able to vaccinate close to 5,000 across the city. So that's a snapshot of some of the things that I've done here in Hamilton.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 14, your priorities for Hamilton?
One of the things that of huge priority is park enhancements in Ward 4. There are five parks that have some version of a water fountain, splash pad, or wash. Gilkson, Mount View, Shrine Again, and William McConnell Park. Other parks do not have a water fountain, splash pad, or a washroom. And I think if we want to build complete neighborhoods and cities, all of those things should be standard at every park. So I think that's one of the main things that is definitely a priority, in my view, for Ward 14. The next thing is streets, safe streets. That has been an ongoing issue, whether it was doing work with 14 for Prague or when I started knocking doors on May 2nd, is the need for complete safe streets. So I think that's something that I'm committed to. It helps that we have a Ward 14 complete streets review done. So there are a list of recommendations that can be implemented immediately. And it's unfortunate that our current councillor has been ill, and so some of these things haven't taken place. So those would be the two main issues for Ward 4. In terms of the city, number one is housing. I think everybody knows that has been a topic of great discussion. One, the definition of affordable housing. And two, explaining to residents why we need different options for housing. I think we don't do a good enough job of telling people why we need housing and we need different versions of housing. Land trusts, duplexes, triplexes, apartment buildings, social housing, transitional housing. We have to start talking about why that's important. When you read the city's urban plan, it says right there, we have to provide various options for housing. How do we get that across? And how do we get that across to also council? Because there have been times where certain councillors have gone against that point. So I think housing definitely for the city. And the second thing is our community safety and well-being plan. The province has mandated that all 444 municipalities should have a community. Now, I think it's important then to fund the plan. In Hamilton, we have six priorities: hate crimes, violence, substance use, mental health, ability, and housing. So if we have a plan and we're not funding it, what use is it? And the plan is a very good plan because it talks about preventative measures before we get response. So I've always argued, if you're spending 25 cents per dollar on incident response, you should be spending 75 cents per dollar on preventative and social initiatives. So I think those would be some of the two things that I would classify as priority.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 14 on Hamilton City Council?
Three things: effective communicator, collaborator, civic leader, and civic engager. So, effective communicator. I think as an elected official, in my opinion, you have to be able to communicate difficult policy to residents and vice versa. You have to be able to communicate what residents want in terms of policy. So you have to be a good communicator. The other thing is you also have to be a good collaborator. In my experience as working for the Hamilton Center, I worked with numerous not-for-profit organizations to develop the Just Recovery document, over 150 recommendations, of which now the city has implemented close to 10% of those recommendations, and now is part of the senior leadership's discussions around moving the city forward. So I have displayed that I can work with different people from different perspectives, from different backgrounds, and that is what we need at council: civic leader and engager. One thing that everybody says, municipal government is the first foray or key into representing people, but municipal governments are also not responsive to the needs of residents. We saw that with urban sprawl. You have like close to 20,000 people tell you what they want, and you have a number of councillors saying, no, these are special interest people. So I think we need leaders that also understand the importance of making sure that residents are civically engaged, whether I disagree with them or not, or whether they're trying to figure things out. They need to be part of the process, because at the end of the day, municipal government is for them, is not for the councillor. The councillor is a facilitator of issues that they are going to be impacted by. So those are the three things that I would be bringing to the table.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information?
Yeah, that's a great question. Under the Municipal Act Section 239, it stipulates what the exceptions are to open. So I think that is going to be the principle that I look to when we have to go in camera or deem or figure out what should be made public. So that's the foundational piece. The second thing is we have residents that are also not happy about public trust. So if we want to regain public trust, we or the council, whoever is elected, has to start behaving and making action that display that we are transparent to the public. So in a situation like that, I think it's incumbent on an individual like me to say, hey, look, people are asking us to be, let us be transparent to the maximum amounts that we can be. And that's where the communication and the collaboration comes into play. Because it's not to say that we would have to force somebody, we can't release this information that's relevant to the public, but we have to work through it. We have to talk through it. Why should we release it? If we don't release it, what does that say about us? What are the repercussions? What is the fallout? And those are the questions that I would be asking when I'm in.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings?
As someone who has always delegated numerous times to council about recommendations, whether it's recommendations through the Justice Tulloch's police oversight and carding issues, if elected councillor for Ward 14, I would implement all of the recommendations. I think if for folks that have been following the inquiry, we are noticing a big disconnect between city staff and some of the relationships between city staff and councillors. And so I think definitely implementing all of those recommendations and also thinking about what is the interaction between staff and councillors. And I think that's one thing that hasn't been talked about, because you have, if you read some of the emails going back and forth between Gary Moore and some of the councillors, it's very troubling. So I think that's something that we definitely have to look at. And the last piece I'll say is, that is why, for me, if elected, one of the things I'm putting it out there is I would want to stay on for 8 years, 2 terms. Because when you stay in one place for a long time, you start getting complacent. And this is what we are seeing in the Red Hill inquiry, in that you have staff members that have stayed for a long time. They've worked with counselors that have stayed for a long time. So there's no accountability piece there. There's no separation between bureaucratic work and political representation. So I think to have a civically engaged, democratic municipal government, it's incumbent on someone like me who's running for office to say, look, I see the drawbacks. And one of the things that I'm going to do if elected is I'm going to try and stay for 8 years, and that's it.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunity?
That's going to be the number one priority for council for the term 2022-2026. One, we have $3.4 billion. When I speak to folks in Ward 14, they are not happy about LRT. But we have in-depth conversations to say, hey, look, if the LRT goes in, we can make sure that there's a better connectivity around public transit. In Ward 14, bus 33, 34, 35, 41, 44 all go through our ward, and they need to be connected to the LRT line. There are lots of long-term care organizations here in Ward 14. People use public transit to get to work. So we need to make sure that it's connected to the line. We need to make sure it doesn't go over $3.4 billion. We need to also make sure that the disruptions, because there are going to be disruptions, we need to make sure that we have mitigated ways to minimize the disruptions, whether it's businesses, there's going to be transportation disruptions as well on King, on Main, and all the streets that connect to those major roads. So those are the things that we would have to make sure we have a handle. And the last piece is, I know the Hamilton Community Benefits is also going to play a huge role in terms of mitigating some of the disruptions and also making sure that this huge investment that we are seeing, there should be some reciprocity in terms of community benefits to those that are going to live on that line, and those that are also businesses and folks that are across the city. So I think that's something that the next term of council will have to, and it's a challenge that I'm willing to take on.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 14 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know?
Yeah, Ward 14 has lots of bike routes. And for those that don't know, I've been having monthly community cycles so that we can explore some of those routes with community members, whether they are individuals in Ward 14 or individuals across the city. Our bike routes, you can take it all the way to the Shadok Rail Trail. You can also take it all the way into Ancaster, up to the airport. And some of the bike routes also connect the different neighborhoods. So there's a bike route that connects from the Garnet neighborhood to the Fessenden neighborhood. It's a little tunnel underneath the link that connects to the neighborhood. So that's the cool thing for me, the bike routes.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the types of housing and businesses which are permitted in location. There are two questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. The zoning bylaws across Ward 14 are now decades old and do not conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. With outdated zoning, the City of Hamilton is unable to present a principled planning position in front of the Ontario Land Tribunal. The new zoning, if compliant with the policy statement, will return locals control over planning. What is your vision and how will you achieve it?
I think first off, yes, we have to update some of those policies. I think when you take a broad look at Ward 14, it's designated as gentle density. If you go to Chedmac Drive, the new buildings that are being built there is termed gentle density. So yes, definitely we have to change it. I think there are most people will understand that we do need to update these policies, these zoning bylaws, especially now that we've committed to a firm urban boundary. Now it becomes very, very, and it also allows the city to make it known to developers to what they are expected, so that when we go to the land tribunal, we're not going back and forth. So that's something that I'm definitely committed to. If elected, I will work with other councillors to make sure that we update these zoning policies, bylaws, so that we can have that mixed use, complete streets design that most of us want to see to make sure that our city is moving in the right direction.
Large commercial plazas are converting into mixed-use, mid-rise development across Hamilton. There was one formal consultation conceptual plan submitted for Meadowlands Plaza. At present, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment and how will you achieve it?
Let me start by saying one of the things that I want to do in Ward 14, and I think this is very important, is establishing neighborhood councils. We have 9 neighborhoods in Ward 14. I want to establish 9 neighborhood councils made up of residents to discuss issues that they are facing in their neighborhood. So when we talk about the issue of mixed use zoning, that is something that we need to have a discussion with residents about. Why do we need to have a discussion? Because Ward 14 is primarily a single family zoned, and residents believe that. I know I was canvassing in the Carpenter neighborhood, and there's a newer subdivision right by Upper Paradise and Rymo. There's a newer subdivision, and there's an older subdivision that separates Upper Paradise. And in the newer subdivision, one of the things they were concerned about was a mixed-use apartment building that was going to be built right at the corner of Upper Paradise and Rymo. They were like, yeah, we don't want a 20-story building here. And I said, well, we need housing. What would be your limit? Maybe 4 or 5. Okay. Then I went to the older side of Carpenter, and they were saying that they never wanted the newer subdivision of single-family homes. So it tells you that even though everybody agrees that we have a housing issue, nobody wants any housing in their neighborhood. So how do we tackle that? Let's start with neighborhood councils. Let's explain and talk about what mixed use is. Let's tell them why we need it, what the issues are. Let's invite the developers there to discuss what they are going to do, how it's going to look like, so that now we can come to some consensus, right? At the end of the day, you want people to be part of the process. What ends up happening all the time, at least in Ward 14, is a new development takes place. The developer talks to, they are supposed to give out a notice to folks that are 100 meters close to the development, and everybody gets up in arms about the development. Whereas I'm saying, no, let's all get to the table. Let's talk about it. Let's build some consensus so that we can agree that, yes, we need mixed use. The Valerie, again, up on Rice and Sanatorium, is the same issue. They want to put in mixed use, but residents around there are saying, no, we don't want that. So we need to come to the table. We need to have those difficult conversations. And I think that's the step to get us to where we want to go, because we know the benefits of mixed use.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 14. with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years, which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
I'll be as specific as I can. Number one, I think all wards should undergo a complete street review. Thus far, Ward 14, Ward 8, and Ward 3 have gone through complete street review. It makes no sense to me that we only have 3 wards that have gone through a complete street review. We know that we need to address street safety. So if elected, first thing is to put a motion forward that says every ward, the 12 wards, need to undergo a complete street review with community organizations, with residents to come up with a plan. Then, now, if the complete street review is done, we should connect those recommendations, short-term, long-term, to what Public Works is doing. There's this, just today we heard the budget overview for 2023. Is that going to be connected to some of the enhancements that we need to see? So I think those would be the first 2 things that I would propose. And that's basically citywide. For Ward 14, we have the recommendations already. We need to start implementing them. In Ward 8, where we are right now, shout outs to Terry Berry Library, Councillor Danko has already started implementing some of the recommendations that was done in the Ward 8 Complete Streets Review. So when you take a road like Bendemeer, that crosses from Ward 8 to Ward 14, and in the Ward 14 review, they're saying we should put in bollards in between the streets to make sure that we have narrow streets to reduce speed. Let's have it done throughout the whole of Bendemeer, and let's collaborate to make sure that, again, we are tackling this in a systematic way. So those will be the 3 things. Complete streets review for everyone. Let's attach those short-term, long-term recommendations to Public Works. And let's implement the recommendations from Ward 14.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions?
Again, my background is I have undergraduate in chemical engineering. I have an MA in interdisciplinary studies, leadership studies from Royal Roads University. I'm completing an MA at McMaster in cultural studies. Why do I mention that? I think for me, I apply myself. So as somebody that went to school for engineering, I know how to apply myself. Engineers are one of the greatest professionals to apply themselves, so I can do that. And I've also had previous interactions with our city, whether it's working with public health, the tourism department, Public Works, what have you. So I do have prior knowledge. In terms of expertise, I think from my point of view, as a civic leader, I have seen how public health connects with inequity, and that also connects with how our city is designed, our city is constructed. So if we're talking about issues, I know how to link them. I know how to make those connections. Today, again, they were talking about climate change. Climate change impacts the weather, public health, incomes, tree canopies, how people go to work, where they go to work, what places grocery stores are. So I think that's one of the things that I bring to the council table, and that will help me with that learning curve. I also follow other councillors across the city. Councillor Courtney Walcott from Calgary, I followed his work. I also follow other councillors in New York City. There are a number of them that inspire me, and I see what they are doing to change how municipal government responds to. And I also follow some councillors in Los Angeles. There were 2 in particular. Kenneth Mejia, who is running for LA Comptroller, he now has a map of places where you're likely to get a ticket, and incoming city district Eunices Hernandez also talking about how we can focus on preventative ways of making life. So I think all of those individuals inspire me to tackle the job at hand and also give me innovative ideas to also look at how we can make sure Ward 14 residents are. I read lots of books. One of the books that changed my perspective on public transit, Better Buses, Better Cities. And so I'm always reading to get new insight, to understand how our city works, what we can do to make it a better place, not just for a couple of people, but for everyone. So that's how I approach this work and always commit learning and unlearning.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city service?
I know there's been lots of discussion about 311, so let's take that. I did some research around 311, and I think if there are people that really want a city service that's very responsive, one of the things that I want to see is having a team of individuals that respond to the needs of residents across our city. And we can do that in different ways. We can do that based on population. We can do that based on the number of complaints that come to various wards. I would like to also see that publicly shared, not just in the ward office. I want to see from Ward 1 all the way to Ward 15, what are the different types of complaints that come in? And how can a city then respond by creating actual people that go out into those wards to address those needs? So I think that would be the first thing that I would. In terms of other city services, I think the one that has been talked about is snow clearing. Snow clearing definitely needs to be a point of emphasis. I know that in the upcoming year, they're going to be clearing snow on transit routes. I think it should be on all sidewalks. I'm knocking on doors. Folks are saying they pay property taxes of $6,000, $5,000, and they do not see a return of services, right? If they are paying high taxes, they should see a return of services for the taxes. That's one of the city services that I would expand it to all sidewalks. In Ward 14, we have seniors, we have new families, and it's definitely something that would improve the quality of life at large.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality?
The first one is to invest in public health. We're here, there's increasing number of cases with COVID. We have monkeypox. We have an ER system that's on the brink of teetering. So I think we need to invest in public health. One of the things that I would want to do is restructure the Board of Health. That work is underway. And so if elected, I definitely want to see that we have health experts on the Board of Health, obviously in conjunction with a number of councils, so that we can really start tackling how we improve the quality of health for people. So if we improve their health, you improve their well-being, it has so many repercussions down the line. So I think that would be one of the main things that I would like to see. And
2026, the public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
I hope they say this term of council, it has been effective, it's been innovative, and it's been transparent. Those are the things I would hope written. For a new council that's going to come in, I think, again, reclaiming that public trust on behalf of all residents is something that, again, I would hope to see. Because without public trust, anything that a municipal government does is always going to be seen critically. And it's not to say that you have 100% of people agree with municipal government, but you just want them to know that they are serving the best. And so I think those would be the descriptors that I would use: upholding public trust, upholding public transparency, being responsive, not reactive. And yeah, just hope that we are.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish?
Yes, I hope that folks that are listening to this go out and vote. Do your research on all the candidates. Reach out to the candidates and go out and vote. If we really want participatory democracy, one that's inclusive, everybody has to go out and vote. We can't depend on voter turnout that's between 34% and even close to 40%. I know in Ward 14, we usually have a high voter turnout in the low 40s. And so if you're out there, please vote, make your decision, engage in the process, and go out and vote. Election day is October 24th. Find your poll location, advance polls, October 7th, 8th, 14th, and 15th. Thank you, Joey.
And how do people find out more about your platform and get in touch with you?
My website is kojoforward14.ca. And my email is kojoforward14@gmail.com.
This has been episode 137 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.